Hello and welcome to Ask the Expert. Remember, it's not experts because it's just me and I don't even know. We're kind of using that term loosely. Welcome to Ask the Expert on Learn TV, the show where you can connect directly with the experts or expert in this case to get your questions answered live. Go ahead and get your questions in the chat and we'll get to as many as we can. My name is Seth Juarez and today we are going to be talking about, let me bring it up here so you can see it. Boop. Understand the ML process and embed models into your applications. I'm super excited that you're here. And I'm really more interested in your questions because they told me I could just do whatever. That's not true. They told me I had to talk about embed, understand the ML process, embed models into your apps. But in between there, I can really do whatever. And so I'm going to be going through the talk that I did at Ignite or Build. These are all getting confused to me now. Let's go to the build. My build. Microsoft.com. Let's see if everything is still there. And if you go to the sessions and you look for me, what is the session we're going to be talking about today? There it is the understand the ML process and embed models into your app. So you can go there. You can take a look at this particular session. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to play it. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be weird. This is John Montgomery, CVP of the PM group over there at the Azure AI. And we got the privilege, me and Cassie together got the privilege of building the demo, but they told me, and they were like, hey, Seth, you only have 7 minutes to do your demo. 7 minutes. I just heard a bling. Someone's trying to talk to me on Teams. Well, you know what? I'm closing Teams, okay? Whoa, am I not there anymore? What happened? Oh, there I am. Okay. They said you only have 7 minutes to do your demo. And I spent like weeks on it. So I'm pretty excited to show you what we built and why. So this is the session. If you want to go watch it, just do what I did. Go to mybuild.microsoft.com and then go to sessions and then search for myself or John Montgomery or Cassie Brevi. And you can watch this talk. It's like 25-ish minutes. But the demos we didn't spend any time on, so I'm super excited to be able to show that to you today. Okay, so let's do this. The first thing I want to show you is, this is the actual project. It's on GitHub. So if you go to Seth Juarez, github.com/SethJuarez/Tlaloc, you can see Cassie and I are the, let me zoom in. Can you see this in the... There's me and Cassie are the contributors. By the way, thanks to the fabulous producer, Mel, who's in the background, either eye-rolling at my jokes or super eye-rolling at my jokes. I'm not sure which one. We'll have to ask her later. So there is this is the actual repo. So you can go and look at all this stuff. It's all in there. It's not faked or anything. It's something that we are doing. Okay. All right, so let's go to the actual thing. So let me show you, if for those that are not familiar with machine learning, I'm going to do just a quick little summary. By the way, this is cool. This is a Microsoft whiteboard, and I have a handy-dandy Wacom tablet pen you can see right here. So let me remind you, for those that may not know, that machine learning is an interesting process where you send in some data, magic happens, and out comes this thing called a model. So this is machine learning. Right. And in this case, we are building a special model to predict earnings. So what do I mean by that? So there's a chart with how much earnings we've made, and we want to be able to predict like what is the earnings from here for another period. So it's like a time series kind of thing. So between us girls kind of thing, when we built this the first time, we actually made a stock predicting model. It's why we called the thing Tlaloc, because Tlaloc is the Aztec rain god, because we were gonna make it rain with stock predictions. I think that earned me a double eye roll, pretty sure. And so that's why we called it Tlaloc. You can totally take a look at that. Oh, look at that. Thank you, producer Mel. Fantastic. So we initially started with like stock predictions, and then we realized that any stocks that we put, if my model predicted badly, could cause a PR issue. So, and this is the funny part. So I had to figure out a way to change this so that we were not saying anything bad about anybody's stock. So let's start with the data. We're going to go over here to this notebook called Generate. By the way, Seth Insider, Seth Insider Trades. No, it's actually, so we had to fake the data. So what you see right here, and I'm going to move this over here so that I can move my keyboard here because I got too much stuff going on up in her. This here thing that you're looking at, I'll just do this. This is the thing we use to fake data. This is it. If any of you are out there looking at this like, what the heck does that do? Basically, the mathematical term for this process is called geometric Brownian motion. And geometric Brownian motion was something that was discovered way back in the day, early 1900s, because of the way the molecules moved around. It's called Brownian motion. You can totally look that up. And they found a way with stocks to approximate upper and lower bounds of stock movement using what is called drift and volatility. And so when you look at this, let's just hit play on this. Let's select the kernel here and we'll start this. So by the way, this is Visual Studio Code. Let me control plus that one more time. Boom. And let's get this out of the way so you can see the whole thing. So basically, I wrote this little deal so that no one could say I'm saying anything bad about anybody's stock. So let me show you what it does. Now it's too big. There you go. Okay. So this thing, if I do a geometric Brownian motion with the periodicity being 1/365, which is a day, with this drift and this volatility, start amount being zero, look what happens. Boop. So notice that I have here automatic data generation that looks like there is some randomness to it, maybe, but there isn't because, and this is the sneaky part. I wanted my model to actually work. By the way, this now I'm showing you behind the curtains, right? Because I didn't get a chance to talk about any of this. And so I've been dying to tell people like Robert McDonald, yes, doing a little bootstrapping with data, absolutely. Allison wants to know more about the applied AI services category. I can totally talk about that. That was the other talk, by the way. Super good by Eric Boy. You should watch that. But what I did here, let me see if I'll generate it a couple times till I get the one that I want. Yes, this one. Okay, do you notice something about this curve? The more I play it, do you see that there's always like a little dip and a? Do you see this little thing? What I did. And y'all are going to think I'm like, this is the evil Dr. Seth, my alter ego, Dr. Seth, who didn't finish his PhD, but still calls himself a doctor because he's a tool. I hid in there a cosine wave that matches the yearly period. What? And so you can see in here, as I play it over and over, this is the data we generated to do our thing. But then what we did is we generated this for multiple stores. And so now what we have is we have all of those little cosine waves, right, that are going up and down, but for each store. And so what we did is we said, we want to predict earnings for the store. This is pretty sneaky, huh? By the way, this notebook is available. Aquí está. Under generate. Sorry, I had breakfast right before. I never do that before show. So now I'm like, oh, excuse me. It's right here. So you can totally look at that. And I even named it something to make it people, when people pay me, they're like, oh, well, he did generate geometric Brownian motion with a superimposed period-based scale cosine wave. Just saying this, I feel smart. This is geometric Brownian motion. Let me get some background music here. Get some background music. No, not this one. We want some. Yes. Geometric Brownian motion with superimposed period-based scaled cosine wave. It hits you right here every time. I mean, I'd do it again, but I don't want people crying at their desk. You'll get on your keyboard, it stops working, it's not cool. All right, so that's what I did. So you can totally look at that. So that's where we got the data, because the thing about these sessions is that everyone's always like, well, where'd you get your data? Well, we made it up. We had to, because in these kinds of sessions, we don't, like, imagine if I used the Microsoft stock and I predicted that it was going down. I mean, that would be a little egg on my face. So I didn't. Or let's just say I used a competitor's stock and predicted that it was going down or going. It's just, I didn't want to do that. And so that's where the data actually comes from. So that's the data number one. Let's go back to my chalky board here, because we just talked about lay data. Boom. Done with that. Basically, I made fake data that looks real but has a hidden periodicity to make the model work. Sneaky. So this was number one. Number one. By the way, I really did. Oh, I just dropped my pen. I really did prepare for this. Let me show you. It's right here. You want to go to full screen on that, Mel? This is me, my preparation. So number one. There we go. Number one is done. Number two. Let's talk about the machine learning model. Number dos, numero dos, the model, which is this thing. We'll use a different color. We'll dotted line over here, and this is what we made next. So what we did is, let's go back over here, is we used something called PyTorch Lightning. So PyTorch Lightning is this fantastic framework built on top of PyTorch. So we really used PyTorch, but built on top of PyTorch, we used, now this is backwards. Man, gosh, Seth. Here, I'll put it right here. PyTorch. By the way, keep the questions coming. Milo is asking, are the cognitive services going away? No. Why would they? So I built it with PyTorch, and on top of PyTorch, there's a framework called, I'm going to put PL, but PyTorch Lightning. Fantastic thing that aggregates some of the PyTorch stuff. By the way, at Microsoft, we love PyTorch. We actually talked about something called PyTorch Enterprise, which is enterprise-level support for those that have a support agreement. But look, PyTorch is fantastic. If you want to go to tutorials, I mean, I feel like this tutorial is probably the best one, you know, not going to just a hint. It's a really good, I don't know, the authors maybe just stellar people, you know. So PyTorch.org, if you go to tutorials, right in there. And we go through all of that. But PyTorch Lightning, let's go PyTorch Lightning. Boop, is this thing right here. One of my colleagues that used to work with us now leads their developer relations over there. It's a wonderful framework that builds on top of PyTorch and aggregates things a little bit, because the idea was we wanted to show in this talk going from the data scientist to the ML engineer, and they're different people. The data scientist's job is to prove that a model works, not necessarily to have good engineering practice around the model, but to have a good scientific process. The ML model, for the ML engineer, that's a little bit different. Wow, we're getting a lot of cognitive services talk questions. Can you tell us about translation service announcements from Build? Probably, but I didn't cover that. That was Aishigal. So you've got the wrong expert. But I'll get that to you, Rihanna. It's a great question. There were some really cool things. In fact, I remember one of them was they got Eric Boyd to speak in Spanish without knowing Spanish. It was like universal translator kind of craziness. And I go to Eric because he's like pretty high up VP. And the first time I met him, he messed with me. And so he's a really funny guy. I was like, Eric, man, your Spanish accent was wonderful. I saw a question flash up about ML ops, but it was gone before I could read it. We're going to do that today if I hurry up. So PyTorch Lightning enabled me to build this model. And if you look at this, this model is right here. If you're familiar with PyTorch Lightning or PyTorch in general, when you define a model in a class-based way, You have the initialize to initialize the model parameters, the numbers, and then the forward is to execute the to execute on the actual model itself. We are using a GRU, right, which is a sequence model that things come in and then things go out, right? And there's a thing that comes in here, right? And then it loops. I'm not going to get into this because I'm not as familiar with sequence models as I am with computer vision. And so this was a growth opportunity for me. I grew a lot because I used models I'd never used before. Yeah, thank you. Hold it back. So here it is. It's basically, you can see that there's the initialization, there are the hidden dimensions, the number of layers we want to use, and then the GRU. And then at the output, we flatten and go to a linear for the output dimension, which is going to be one for us because that's where we're predicting. Okay, so should we run it? F5, boom, let's see if it works. And you're probably wondering, well, how did he do that? He just pushes F5 on Visual Studio Code and machine learning stuff happens. Yes, yes, it does, dear viewer. Because I set up in VS Code this launch.json, which is how you say it in Europe. This launch.json file tells me how to run it. Right. And so notice that in this PL trainer, you can see, oh, yes, I know you're running. Thank you. No, not here. I went to the wrong place again. Where are you? Where launch.json. You can notice that I'm running the trainer.py. I'm passing in the current directory, and then there's the args that I'm passing in. And notice that for this, we're just telling it like how to run the thing. And this is PyTorch. Like, I wish we had more time to go through this because it's so good. We might have to do another maybe 9-hour show just where we just sit here and stare at each other for maybe 8 hours. And then the last hour we will do this. But basically what this is doing is this is loading up and running the model. So let's go over to the trainer. Notice you can F10 just like you would do any thing, right? You can take a look at all the variables. Notice that it's a Windows path. There's the output. It's pretty cool. I mean, now when I hit F5 again, we're running the model. Notice that it's setting up the data. It's loading up the data. There's a Parquet file. Where is the Parquet file, you ask? It's right here. Boop. Notice, super cool. We can debug this stuff. That's why it's super cool for the ML engineer to use VS Code. So now it's loading up. There you go. Notice we initialized the groove model. There's the forward. Boom, boom, F5. And now it's going to do its magic. Boom. Boom, I'm learning. We're learning stuff, you know? Oh, yeah, let's give it some music to learn stuff. We're learning stuff, yes, we are. Look at the computer, learning. It's such a good learn. You're such a good student. It goes for about 90-ish epochs. Look, it's doing its thing. It's doing its thing. And what it's doing is it's basically making the parameters of the model do the right thing. Because in these models, there's basically a bunch of numbers that it takes this sequence of numbers and multiplies them and then puts functions on them. And then we use calculus to figure out. By the way, tomorrow morning, I'm actually doing a PyTorch, introduction to PyTorch. 2 weeks ago, I did an introduction to the math of deep learning. All right, it's almost done. I'm trying to fill time here because why it takes so long to learn? 94. After we fit, we do this and boom, the model is done. We're going to do a little prediction to make sure it's doing the right thing. And we're done. Okay, so let's see what it did. Let's go to the output folder. There's the model that it built. Let's take a look at it. Let's go to reveal in File Explorer. Boop. Let's open it. For those of you, if this is the first time you're ever opening a machine learning model, get ready. Eric. There it is. It's not as exciting as you thought, huh? Nope. There's the GRU. There's another GRU. Notice that there's some data coming in. It's not really that. It really just, look, this is all I learned. Numbers? Were you expecting rainbows and unicorns? Because that's how marketing sells it sometimes. It's really just numbers in calculus. Okay, so there's the model. So how do we know that the model actually works? Well, let's go to our prediction notebook. We've loaded it up. Notice that here is the model. I'm loading it up. The model comes with this handy dandy params thing. And this params just tells me the shape of the model, etc. It's just like a metadata. You can also use MLflow, by the way, that does similar things. And what I'm saying is I want to look behind 90 and forward 14 to do the predictions. And so we'll scroll down for the prediction. Here's the prediction. So notice that I have the data set. I do the prediction. I invert the scale. And then over here, you can see the prediction. So here's the cumulative earnings. Right? And notice that the prediction is, it's almost too good. And the reason why it's almost too good is because it's synthetic data. And when you math on math on math, it maths all the way down. Turtles all the way down. Notice that it's looking at a diminishment of the actual earnings. When if you look at it, it looks like it, when it comes to the periodicity, it's coming over to the down area. And this sucks, right? Because we have a we kind of have a lie factor on this, unfortunately. Edward Tufte, by the way, look up lie factor on charts. It's eye-opening. There you go. So the thing about this that I did is it's all awesome. It's fantastic. But again, it's just on my machine. And so as Anil L. asked on Learn TV, I keep hearing about ML Ops. What does that even mean? Well, it's basically DevOps, but for machine learning. So the reality is that none of this stuff does anybody any good if it's just on my machine. No bueno. So what we need to do, by the way, keep the questions coming. I want to make sure that you, these are really, so far, amazing questions. Don't be the one that messes it up for everybody, by the way. I'm just kidding. There's no bad questions, only dumb answers. And I have all the dumb answers. So the reality is, what do we do to get this to work for a number of different people? And that's where this cloud business come in, right? Notice that this defines a job. And if you use Azure at all, there's something called Azure Machine Learning is how you say it in Spanish. Machine. It sounds really cool in Spanish, right? Machine Learning. And what this does is Azure Machine Learning, let's go over here, is a place where you can actually run all of these things, but in a way that everyone can see them, right? So for example, this tells you the training, the min training loss, the main validation loss. You can see the curves here that say how well this is doing. You're like, wait a minute, what does this even mean? Why is it negative? Well, it turns out that for validation, I measure how far away from the actual number the prediction is. Because what we do is we take a sequence from the past to predict a future value, and we do that, and we range over it. And so sometimes the number is higher, sometimes the number is lower. But what we want to do is we want it to, as it trains, normalize or get over, you know, I want to be precise because it's not normalization, but it actually goes into, Riku Oki K, how do you rate this code in DevOps or Kubernetes? That's what we're doing it. It's like they know where I'm at, right? And so basically, to submit this job, by the way, just like this is still thinking about it, all I need to do is I need to create this schema resource file and then go to create resource. And what it will do is it will run it inside of Azure Machine Learning. And you're probably wondering, but I want to do DevOps with this. Well, it turns out that we have our own specialized compute clusters called one called Gandalf. Can we see, is this visible to everybody? Where it's a five machines that may or may not be running, because the reality is I don't might not need anybody. So you can see this is a cluster of machines that has a max five minutes shutdown, and I have 6 minutes, so I gotta hurry up. And you can see that one is always running. So when I submit this experiment, it actually runs inside of this particular environment. And you can see I ran it a lot of times because I messed up a lot, right? And you can see it in there. The cool thing about this also is that you can look at the snapshot of the exact code that run. You can see there's the trainer. You can see the outputs and logs, like the exact same things I had on my machine. You can see them on Azure Machine Learning, as well as the metrics because I used MLflow. You can see, you see the training deviation, how it goes to zero. It's pretty cool. And you can see here the validation. Whoop! It's getting better. It's going to zero, which means that there is a near zero delta on the prediction, and the loss goes all the way down. Fantastico. Now, the question is, how do we get this into our apps to do the predictions? Well, for that, we need to export a model. And notice that I have an earnings model here, number two. And this earnings model then can get pushed out to an endpoint. And here is the earnings endpoint. And this endpoint you can just call. But now let's get into the ML ops bit of it, because this is the important. How do I make it so that if I change my machine learning code, that a process is kicked off that, number one, makes sure the code works. Number two, runs the machine learning process. Number three, generates the model. And then number four, pushes it out into production safely. Notice that this new managed inference feature that was released at Build creates the situation where you can have multiple deployments. And these multiple deployments, you can change the amount of traffic that is scaled to each one. So if I do MLOps, retrain the model, and push it out to MIR, or to managed inference, sorry, that's our internal code, or I shouldn't say that, pushes it out to managed inference, we want to do it safely. And so what I did, and you're going to love this, is I built a GitHub Acción, which is also Spanish. And during the during build, I kicked it off. And you can see that this ML workflow, basically, here's all the setup stuff, right? You know, this is all the cruftiness. And then runs the job. But it runs the job on Azure Machine Learning, because those there, that's where the GPUs are. You can see it runs all of it. There's the running, it runs it up for a while. Then step number two, it registers the model inside of Azure Machine Learning. You can see it does that. And then number three, it adds a deployment, but it does it by updating the traffic. So number one, it deploys it. Number two, it gives it 10% of the traffic. And you can see it did it. It did it right here with a couple of calls, you know, inside of Azure, inside of GitHub Actions. And so this is it. Basically, anytime now I change my code, GitHub Actions, and I check it in, GitHub Actions will fire off this workflow, run the machine learning model, register the model, deploy the model, but with only 10% of the traffic, so that we can instrument and see if anything has gone wrong. All right. So Karen says, this isn't all my area, but looks so cool. It is cool, Karen. It is fantastic. How can I learn more? Is there a community I can be a part of? Yeah, it's the machine learning community. In this case, I was using deep learning. It's good stuff. I think there's a call to action to go look at some stuff. By the way, go look at the session. You can totally look at that. But Karen, reach out to me as well. I'm just Seth Juarez on the tweeters. But yeah, that's it. That's the extent of what I wanted to show. There's a bunch of other things. Obviously, you can go into the repo and check it out. But basically, the way you describe these things is with some YAML files. And you basically create the resource in Azure Machine Learning. This is still looking at that. So thank you so much for spending some time with me. It's been fantastic. Make sure you leave your feedback in the chat. And then head to the link below to watch past episodes and see what's coming up next. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with everybody. And hopefully we'll see you next time.